Next year at All Saints Sunday, I'll look ahead, and we've got to find a banjo picker to help us with that. I confess that song brings out my country western roots. Back in Alberta on the prairies in the small town in which we lived, people used to say, here we like two kinds of music, country and western. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message on this All Saints Sunday is Running with the Saints, especially finding our theme in Hebrews chapter 12, the first two verses. I draw your attention to this text now. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside the sin that entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set out before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So far, our text. I encourage you this morning to turn inside your bulletin and find the half-sheet insert. There you'll find the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Running with the Saints. Ready? Set? Go! No three words bring more joy, except for maybe the word, do you want a treat? No three words bring greater joy than to my border collie Blade than these words, ready, set, go. Because when he knows he hears these words, we're going to go out on a run together. Whether up and down the Shell Road path, or around the streets of Steveston, or the dike trails of Richmond, all I have to say to Blade is, ready, set, and he's gone before I can even say go. He loves to go running with me. Now, every day we go running, excluding Sunday. Rain or shine, cold or wind, it makes no difference. We average 50 kilometers a week, 2,500 kilometers a year together. And I thank God for the physical and mental and spiritual well-being, with all the kidding I take notwithstanding, that running brings into my life. Now, my days of competitive running are over. The ribbons and trophies have gathered dust. But I thank God daily for the joys and the benefits that running brings to my life. Look at your sermon outline. Running, the scripture says, is a wonderful metaphor for the Christian life. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this, let us run with endurance the race set out for us. Now, a lot of training goes into the running of a marathon. I can tell you from firsthand experience, a marathon, one race, one run. Why would anybody do this? We'll talk about it in a moment. A marathon is 42 kilometers, 26.2 miles from start to finish. And I have done a few. But to get ready for a marathon means miles and miles of road work to train your body and your mind, hours of track work to develop speed, countless hills up and down to build your endurance over these obstacles. And often you find you run all by yourself. Non-runners simply don't understand, and they mock the effort. They say things like this, and I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times. Why run? It's so easy to be a lazy couch potato. Why run? It doesn't look like fun. If running were so much fun, how come there aren't more runners? Who in their right mind would run in the cold, in the rain, in the wind? And why run? Because often you need anti-inflammatory medications for your joints, cold compresses for your sore muscles. And Pastor, didn't you? Yes, I did have arthroscopic surgery on my knees so I could keep running. And I have a secret to tell you this morning. Even today, you probably can't see it, I have an elastic bandage around my leg because I have a running injury. So why would anybody run? The Christian life in the Scriptures is often compared to a running marathon, filled with obstacles, temptations to quit, and mockers who make fun of those who run in the Christian race. You see, the Christian life is not some easy 100-meter sprint. In my old days, growing to a track club, the distance runners used to make fun of the sprinters. Oh, yeah, you can run real fast for 100 meters, but go 10 miles with me and see what you're like then. The Christian life is not a quick and 100-meter sprint. The writer of Hebrews says, we run with endurance the race set out for us. And obstacles pop up in our way when we run. Obstacles in the Christian race like our sin and the sins of others in our lives and sin and rebellion which leads us away from God's path and down a whole nother road in life. The book of Proverbs puts it this way, there is a way or there is a road that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is death. And there are temptations all around us to quit the Christian race. Why? Because the truth is, it's too hard to run on your own. And mockers are all around us in the form of unbelievers who tell us in so many ways, why be a Christian? It's so much easier to take the easy way out and skip this God and church and Bible and Jesus stuff. Well, you see, they say, fun. That's the most important thing in life, fun. And if being a Christian is so much fun, why aren't there more Christians? Why be a Christian when there's a commitment to make? Sacrifices to endure. Why Sunday is the best day of the week to sleep in. And the devil himself would like nothing more than for you to be a spiritual couch potato. And not to take God seriously or to take God's word seriously. And then there are the voices inside of us that say, you're not a good enough Christian. I know what you've done in your life. You don't have what it takes. Can you run this race by yourself? You cannot. Listen to the words of Galatians 5, verse 7. St. Paul writes, you began to run well. But what has hindered you from continuing to obey God's word? And because our loving and understanding Lord knows that our run in this life is filled with challenges and obstacles, and our sinful flesh is weak, He does something about it. He provides for us so we don't have to run the race alone. God is not like my old high school track coach who yelled from the sidelines, sweat more, boys, and work harder. No, our loving God provides what every runner in the Christian race craves and needs. As a veteran of many road races, I can assure you how wonderful are the cheerleaders and supporters and encouragers along the path of the race, yelling out things like this, looking good, keep going, you're almost there. Some of these people call out your name from the sidelines. Some provide you water or snacks along the course. Some run alongside you when you get tired, and some even pick you up when you stumble and fall and wonder, can you take one more step? And my friends, do you catch the drift of our sermon? In the race of our life, God provides the same support. Hebrews 12 says, since you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race set out before us. What's the great cloud of witnesses Hebrews talks about? This is a reference to all the saints of God. Today is All Saints Sunday. When we remember those saints of God who have gone before us and are already in heaven, and the saints of God who are on this earth encouraging us to keep in the race, these saints we call the church on earth and the church already in heaven. It's our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's our church family who prays for us, who prays with us, who supports us at times of loss or hardship or sorrow, supporting us by words and deeds, who in so many ways say to us, don't give up. Keep on running. You can make it. Now, I can tell you personally that a few years ago in my life, when I was going through pain that I thought I literally could not live through, it was my brothers and sisters in Christ who saved my life and kept me in the race. This is one reason that you are encouraged to be faithful in your attendance in worship and Bible class, to become a part of a worshiping and fellowshipping Christian church, and to cultivate Christian friends, because we need each other. We can't run the race alone. Runners talk about hitting the wall. That doesn't literally mean walking into a wall or running into a wall. It means that at about mile 20, in a 26-mile marathon, your body has pretty much depleted all of its reserves, and you just want to quit, and you can hardly go any further. How wonderful at that time it is to have a running partner who keeps you going, who supports you as you still try to run. But the saints that God gives us are not just the saints on earth. They're also the saints in heaven who say to us, we've made it. We, by God's grace, have crossed the finish line. Now, don't you ever give up. God has brought us here. You can make it too. Keep running. And so, even though our text is Hebrews 12, I challenge you today, go home and look at Hebrews 11. Because in Hebrews 11, it lists all the saints of God who have already gone before, who make up the great cloud of witnesses, and they're named there in Hebrews 11. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Moses, Joshua, and the list goes on. But the list of saints in heaven are not just biblical characters. They're your father, your husband, your wife, your grandpa, your loved one, who have already gone before, and they're saying to you, don't you give up. By the mercy of God and my Savior, Jesus Christ, He has brought me to this place of glory. You can be here too. Don't give up. God has helped me to make it. So can you. Listen to Isaiah chapter 26 as it describes the saints of God in heaven. It says, but your dead will rise. Their bodies will live. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. And from Revelation, the lesson for today, listen to what it says. It's John's vision of heaven. Then one of the elders answered and said to me, who are those who are arrayed in white robes? Where did they come from? And he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It's a vision of heaven where people are wearing white robes because their sins have been washed away by the Savior who died for them, who died for your sins and mine. And because of His death and resurrection, our sinful flesh, our sinful filth is stripped away, and we are given robes of righteousness. Why do you think Pastor wears these week after week? To remind us that we sinners are covered with the righteousness of Christ. Our loved ones are there, and they're saying, they're like our heavenly cheerleaders. Keep running. Looking good. Don't you quit. You can make it. But best of all is Jesus, who Himself has run the race and finished the course. Listen to the text again. Listen carefully. It's talking about a marathon road race. Running's got to be good. It's in the Bible. Listen carefully. Therefore, we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin that entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set out before us. But here's the verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What does this mean? It means that Jesus has run the race for us. And what was the course of that marathon race? It led him to the cross. And on that cross, he gave his sinless life. He gave his sinless life in payment for your sins and mine. He defeated on that cross the powers of sin, the powers of death, the powers of the devil. And on Easter, he rose to give victory and forgiveness to you, to me, to any who put their faith in him. But the good news doesn't end there. As if that wasn't good enough, along the race course of this life, our Lord runs right by our side. Notice your outline. Would you take a peek? There's a picture I've attached to your outline. Maybe you can't make it out clearly. It's pretty small. But it's a picture of two men. Let me explain this picture to you. Derek Redmond was the Great Britain 400-meter running champion. And he trained for years to enter the Barcelona Olympics in 1992. And he was favored to win it. In the semifinal heat of the race, as he was turning the last bend, he pulled and tore a hamstring muscle. If you know where that is, it's the largest muscle on your leg, and it hurts terribly. He crashed to the track, writhing in pain as all the other runners went by him. All his dreams were dashed on that track. And now I quote to you what happened next. I quote from Sports Illustrated magazine. Let me read this to you. As the medical attendants were approaching, Derek Redmond fought to get to his feet. It was simply animal instinct, he would say later, and he set out hopping in a crazed attempt to finish the race. But when he reached the final straightaway, a large man in a t-shirt, notice your picture, a large man in a t-shirt burst out of the stands, hurled aside a security guard, ran to Derek Redmond, and hugged him. It was Jim Redmond, Derek's father. "You don't have to do this, son," he told his weeping boy. "Yes, I do, Pop," said Derek. "Well then," said his father, "we're going to finish this race together." And they did. Fighting off security men, the son's head sometimes buried in his father's shoulder because of the pain, they stayed in Derek's running lane all the way to the end as the crowd gaped, rose to their feet, howled, and then they wept. What a wonderful picture of your loving Lord and mine. When we fall and stumble in this race of life, he doesn't shout, "Work harder, sweat more, it all depends on you." He comes to us to lift us up, to help us cross that finish line. My dear friends, on this All Saints Day, with all the saints on earth and in heaven, let's keep running. No matter what the weather is like outside, today is a wonderful day for a run. So, ready, set, go. In the name of Jesus, amen.